I want to talk about, really that song was perfect actually. I want to talk about our identity as sons and daughters of God and about how to really understand what that is and walk in that identity is a huge deal. And I'm going to start off by reading Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and this is on your sheet. This is an easy-to-understand verse. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. In other words, it's like, you know, don't just live like everybody else around you is living. And that's not only like, you know, don't do the wrong things, but it's even what motivates everybody around us to why they do what they do. Why we do what we do should be a completely different motivation. And he says, don't just copy the behavior and customs of this world. But you know what? Here's the crazy thing about that. That's actually how we learn in the natural realm. You know, you got a little baby that's born, right? And they grow up and they see mommy and daddy doing it. They see their brother and sisters doing it. And they just do. That's how they learn, right? They just kind of copy. That's what we do. But then something happens. The point comes where, and some of that is good, right? We learn good things. We learn good habits, but some of it's not good because the world around us is fallen and they're living in darkness rather than walking in the light. And so they're confused. And some of the things that they do are not right. And so when they do those things, it causes brokenness to increase in their life, right? And so when we copy that, the same stuff happens to us. And what Paul's saying in this verse, he's like, guys, don't just copy the world. And this is the key. He says, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So he's saying, like, something happens, though. Like, the day comes when the light bulb goes on and you realize, like, why am I just doing all this destructive, sinful stuff? Like, this is not making me happy. Like, this is not what I was made for. Like, God is real, and I can have a relationship with God, and my sins can be forgiven if I'll follow and believe Jesus. And the light bulb goes on. It's like that. I remember the day that happened for me. It was June 9th, 1993. I remember, like, I was at this point in my life, you know, as going into my senior year of high school, and I was kind of like, what's my purpose? You know, I don't want to, and there was kind of this fad that was even going on in my generation at that time. We're like, you want to be different. Like, I want to be different. I don't want to just be like everybody else. And so I kind of had this, like, I want to be different. I want to know who I am. I want to find, and I remember the light bulb went on. I remember the moment, and I was like, oh, I'm going to live for Jesus. That's what I was born for. That's what I was made for. And it was so exciting. I was like, I just discovered my purpose in life. So I'm like, I'm in, and I gave my life to Jesus. But then there was this process is I had learned to do life in the same way that everybody around me always did life. And so I had to relearn how to see myself and relate to God and make decisions and do life the way God says to do life so that it will work. Is this making sense? And that's what Paul's talking about here. He's like, there's a transformation process that has to happen. Now, we know that as soon as we're born again, the Holy Spirit comes into us and we get a new heart and we get a new identity and we get all these blessings that we're going to read about in just a little bit. But this is the point I really want to emphasize. There's a lot of blessings that you've been given because you've been adopted by God through following Jesus. There are tons of blessings that are available to you that you've been given. It's part of your inheritance. You haven't done anything to earn it. You were just born into the family of God by choosing to believe and follow Jesus. And you're a child of God. And so all this blessing and inheritance is yours. To be honest, every single one of us in this room, we don't even understand the fullness of all that is ours. But the fun part is we get to discover it. Read the Bible, talk with the Holy Spirit, and then when you learn, wait a minute, that's not who I created you to be, Jeff. That's not the way we do things in my family. This is the way we do things. Do you know who you are, Jeff? We're going to do things like this. And then I need to be transformed by changing the way I think to agree with what he says. There's a story I heard one time of a family that lived somewhere in, I think it was Eastern Europe, way, you know, a long time ago. And they were living under a harsh government, in a harsh place. And they had this big dream that someday they wanted to get on the ship and cross the Atlantic and make it to America, the land of the free. And the father, the family, they were very poor. They worked hard. They worked really hard, and they saved and they saved and they saved until finally the day came where they had enough money saved up to buy passage for every family member to get on a ship and go to America. And so they got on the ship, and they're like, you know, we don't have a ton of extra money. They're like, but, you know, and then they would see all the other passengers going in like every time, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. There'd be these elaborate meals in the dining hall, and they could smell the food, and they'd see the people going in. They're like, oh, that looks so good. But they're like, we can't afford it. You know, we have enough where we brought enough, like some bread, and if we ration it just right, it'll last for the full journey across the Atlantic Ocean until we get to America. And so they just would eat their little food and, you know, dispense it between all the kids. And then they finally make it to America. And as they're getting off of the ship, the captain was kind of greeting people as they got off the ship. Captain was like, I hope you enjoyed the ship. They're like, yeah, it was a great ride. Thank you so much. And the captain's like, how did you enjoy the food? And the father's like, oh, you know, we couldn't afford to eat the meals. And so we didn't get to eat the food. We just kind of brought a little bit of bread of our own, and we just made it on that. And this look of like horror comes over the face of the captain. And the captain looks at him. He says, didn't you know? He's like, the price of the food was included when you bought the ticket. And I think there's a lot of followers of Jesus. It's like, yeah, we're in the kingdom of God. We're going to the promised land. You know, it's good. It's great. But there's all these blessings that were included in the payment for our salvation when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to forgive our sins. It was more than just you're forgiven. There was a whole lot of blessing that came along with that. But there's a lot of believers that we haven't read the Bible, or and so it's like we don't understand. And so we're not walking in the fullness of the things that God wants us to walk in now, in this age. Transformation happens when we intentionally choose. Everybody say, make a choice. Okay, you intentionally choose to believe what God says is true and to act upon what God says is true rather than just believing and acting based upon how you feel or what everybody else around you says is right. This is how the transformation process works. And I'm looking at this is like, there's people in here, you've been serving the Lord for decades. There's other people, you know, you've been in the kingdom of God for a few weeks. But this is a message for all of us. This is how you grow, is you never, ever get to the point where you're not constantly learning and adjusting. And like, wait a minute, I've been thinking this way, but God says this. I need to change this aspect of what I think. I've been acting as if this lie is true, but God says this. I need to change how I act to based upon what he says is the way it is. Does that make sense? And we always have to be doing that. There's an ongoing transformation process that should never stop in every follower of Jesus. We just keep becoming more and more like Jesus as we learn the truth and then make intentional choices to believe the truth rather than believe the lie. So I want to just... I'm just going to read this, because Ephesians chapter 1, which is the passage we're going to look at today, because one of the most powerful transformations that needs to happen in all of our thinking is learning to see ourselves as favored sons and daughters of God. Do you know what it means to be favored? Let me illustrate. Let's say I have 10 people up here. There's one like super rich billionaire who's standing here. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to be sharing my inheritance with someone. There's 10 people up there. You know what? I'm going to say no to all 9 of you because this one's my favorite. this one has favor with me. I really like this person. So you know what? Everything I have is yours. I adopt you into my family. Now, when you became a child of God through believing and obeying Jesus, instantly, like before you could do anything to prove how serious you were about following God, instantly, God looked at you and he looks at you as a father and he says, I love you and you have favor with me. All that I have is yours. I share it with you. Now, there's a lot to being a son and daughter of God. Honestly, I could teach on this for weeks and weeks and weeks. You know, I mean, there's a whole lot of benefits. That's what I'm focusing on today. But there's part of walking. There's a responsibility that comes with the blessing that we're being given. You with me? You know, everybody gets excited when they get the new puppy. Ah, I got a puppy. It's the cutest thing ever. And then it like poops on your floor, on your carpet. And mom and dad looks at you and says, congratulations, I gave you the puppy. You get to learn how to take care of it. It's like, what? You mean I got to feed it every day? I got to take it on a walk? I go, what? It's like, yeah, it is a blessing, but there's responsibilities that come with the blessing. You guys with me? And it's just we need to have both at the same time. But I'm going to focus on the blessing part today because we need to know what we have. So let me just go into Ephesians chapter 1. Guys, I want you to get this passage of scripture. I want you to adopt, make it your own, own it. It's yours. It's yours. This, I would spend tons of time in this passage, like when I was first saved, and ever since, I spend lots of time in this passage just meditating on it. So let's just go through it. Paul says, first, all praise to God, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Everybody say, that's me. God has already, past tense, not someday will, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. That's such a loaded sentence, as is the case in most of Ephesians. Lots of big loaded sentences. So because you believe the truth about Jesus, that he is the Son of God, that he lived a sinless life, he died on the cross to forgive your sins, he rose from the dead, ascended back into heaven, has been given authority over all the nations and people groups of the earth, and will one day come back and rule all the nations with those of us who have chosen to be loyal to him. Because we believe this gospel message and we live in loyalty to our King Jesus, we've been adopted as sons and daughters of God. We have favor. And he says, I've already blessed you in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Try to think, just brainstorm right now in your own mind. Think of a spiritual blessing that you'd like. Anybody like to be healed? Would anybody like to feel like a really close part of a family? Would anybody like to be one of those kids, one of those rare kids that has the greatest father in the whole world? Would anybody like to become a great dad, mother, son, wife, husband? There's so many spiritual blessings. We could go on and on. How many of you would like a vision? How many of you like to hear the voice of God talking to you like they did in the Bible? Okay, you could go on and on. Every spiritual blessing means every. It's a blank check. God's like, here, signed it, God. Memo, love you, son. Tell Jesus, thank you. This is why you're getting this. That's in the memo. And then it's just like, fill it in. Every spiritual blessing, I have blessed you. What does it mean I have blessed you with it? I mean, think about this. It's like if you were born into a family that had great wealth, something terrible happened, your parents died, you were like 12 years old, and they're like, it all goes to the kid. All of it's yours. But they're not going to give it to you at 12 because you wouldn't know what to do with it. You'd probably screw up your life. And so they're like, they set up a process, stewards who are going to manage it for you, but it's yours. Until you come of age and you're at a maturity level where you can handle it, and then it's all yours. And it's like that 12-year-old could literally say, I'm a billionaire. I'm a billionaire, right? And it's because it's already been designated for that child. It's set aside. It's not going to anybody else. Nothing can change it. It's a legal covenant written in the, codified in law. It is yours. And God's like, because you're my son or my daughter, I have already blessed you in the heavenly realms. I've made available to you. You have access to every spiritual blessing that you could ever need or ever want. So you know what that makes me think? That makes me want to pray and start asking for some stuff. Right? There's tons of stuff I want to see. I want to lead 1 million people to Jesus before I die. Let me see. First, does that fit the category of every spiritual blessing? I think it does. Okay, therefore, Father, anoint me to lead 1 million people to Jesus before I die. And he's like, done. I've blessed you. I just ask and believe me for it. And on and on and on. And then it goes on, next verse. Listen to this. Even before he made the world, stop. Think about that. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Before he said, let there be light. Before Adam and Eve ever were created. Before he made the world, listen to this. God loved us. And chose us. Think about that word chosen. I love the word chosen. You know, as a kid, we used to like, I love sports and I'd love playing on a playground. School would start at like 8. My mom was a single mom. She had to go to work really, really early. And so I was in charge of getting myself and my younger brother up, getting breakfast, and walking to school on time. The cool thing is I would go to school like an hour early. Because it was extra recess. That's why. I'd get there at like 7:30 in the morning, and a bunch of others would already be there, and it'd be like football, dodgeball, whatever the game was. It was an extra recess, and we'd have a great time. But we'd play these games, right? And then it's like, who's going to be on which team? And they'd pick captains. You captain, and you're a captain. Everybody else lines up on the fence or the wall, whatever it is. And then everybody picks. They choose who they want to be on their team. And I think of when it says here that God the Father, he loved you before the world began. Think about that. I mean, put your name in there, make it personal, like Jake Tripp. Like God knew your name before he ever said, let there be light. Before he created Adam, your great, 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 way back there. All of us go back to Adam. Before he created Adam and Eve, he was like, one day a generation come and Jake Tripp's going to be born. And I already love him. I already love him. Just anticipating when that time comes. And I choose him. I choose him. I want him with me. I want him on my family, on my team. Even this is literal. We have to read these things and actually take time to contemplate what they really are saying, because they actually mean what they really say. And think about what that means for you when you're like, I was loved by God way back then, and he was thinking of me literally thousands of years before I was conceived. He loved me and he chose me. What did he choose me for? Like, what's my, you know, everybody wants to know, what's my purpose? What's my destiny? Like, tell me, what were the thoughts in your mind that were in your mind that about me 6,000 years ago before you created the world, when you thought of the day I'd come and you were like, oh, he's going to be like this. I'm going to make him with this sense of humor. Probably when he's thinking of me, he's like, I'm going to make him super handsome. I'm going to make him extremely buff. I'm going to give him a really great wife to make him feel that way all the time, even when he's 44. And actually, he did know who my wife was going to be. He knows your future. He knows your destiny. I'm like, talk to me. Let's talk. Let's pray. I want to pray. Have a conversation. Share some of those thoughts that were in your mind about me back then so that I know who I was created to be. Why did you make me like this? There's a good reason. He loves you. God, talk to me about these things. What did you create me for? What's my destiny? And then look at this. He chose us. Why? In Christ. That's the key. It's through following Jesus that you fulfill the destiny you were created for. You're not going to get there any other way. If you'd be like, well, I'm good with money, I'm going to make $1 million. You may make $1 million and completely miss your purpose and destiny. Because all of it, the beginning, it's like, what do I do to fulfill my destiny? I'm going to graduate next year. I'm going to college. Should I be a doctor? Should I be a pharmacist? Should I just go into a trade and become a welder or whatever it is? It's like, you know, we want to know all this stuff. But the Bible says this. If you want to know your purpose, here's where it starts. You have to give your life to following Jesus as your king. Follow Jesus as Lord and get adopted into the family of God. And then you learn about who he is and then for who you are and what your calling is. And then it goes on. He chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Here's why this one makes me especially happy. Because when I got saved, I got this new heart. And before I gave my life to Jesus, I didn't care that much about pleasing God. I actually didn't care at all, other than I didn't want to get in trouble and go to hell when I died. But if I'd sin and hurt somebody, maybe I'd slightly feel a little guilty, but not always. It didn't bother me that I was hurting the heart of God. I'm like, I didn't really even think about it. I just did what I wanted to do. But then I got saved, and he took away my bad heart, and he gave me a new heart with new desires. And now my desire was like, I want to be really close to you all the time, and I want to please you. I want to make you a proud papa. So then when I'd sin, it would really, really bother me. Like, really bother me. Still does. I hate sin. Like, despise. I hate sin. I hate what it does to me. I hate what it does to people. I love righteousness. It's the way of life. I love it. Holiness is happiness. That is true. And so I'm like, I love righteousness. But when I first gave my life to the Lord, I would be like, I'd see my failures, but I wouldn't see my growth very much. And many times I'd think of myself like, Jeff, you are such a complete loser. You are the worst follower of Jesus. I mean, you're so bad at it. You fail all the time. And the truth was, I was sincerely running after God. I was growing. I was becoming more like Jesus. But, you know, I'd have moments when I'd fail and I'd repent of it. And I was just like, God, you know. And I came to the point where other people could, even in church, could come and say, dude, you're awesome. You're such an awesome follower of Jesus. And in my mind, I'd think like, yeah, that's because you see me on Sundays for a few hours. I mean, we can fake people out who don't live with us all the time. Just put on your best behavior. People do it when they're dating all the time, right? They put their best foot forward. And then as you go on, you get to know them better. You're like, you see their glory, but you also see their faults. And then you can make an informed and wise decision. But what I love about this scripture is God, I know I can fake people out, but I can't fake you out. You know what's real in me. Like, you know what's real in me. Like, I don't even care if people say I'm awesome, because at the end of the day, they're not my judge. I'm going to stand before the Lord and give an account for my life, and he knows really what's happening in my secret life. When nobody else is around, in the inner thoughts, the motivations of my heart, he knows the truth even better than I know about my own self. And when it says, I chose you, Jeff, to be holy and blameless in my sight, I'm like, whoa, then that means if you look at me knowing everything, nothing's hidden. I can't fake you out. I'm not going to try. And he's like, Jeff, I pronounce you holy and without fault. I can't find one single fault to accuse you of. That's the power of the blood of Jesus. And that gives me confidence before God. Like when he sees me through the lens of the blood of Jesus. That is the blood of Jesus that's made payment and removed my sin. And he says, I see you without fault. You know, when I approach the Lord, I mean, he's holy, he's majestic, he's powerful. It's like truly our dad is like nobody's got a dad like our dad. You know, Bill Gates' kids could say, hey, I got a powerful dad. President Trump's kids could say, man, I got a really rich and powerful dad. We'd be like, our dad's so much more rich. So much more powerful. And then we come before him with this confidence because he's like, we don't come before him and he's like, I just see you as a failure and a loser who never measures up. He says, instantly, I see the blood of my son covering you. You measure up. You have favor. And there's a smile on his face. He's like, I'm happy to see you. It'd change your prayer life to see him this way and to see yourself this way. Verse 5, God decided in advance, here's God's will for your life, to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Come on, this is so happy. I love this verse. Just got to meditate on it together. So God decided in advance, Katre, way long ago, before he ever created the earth, he says, I want Katre in my family. I'm going to adopt him as my own son. So when God looks at you, he's your father. He says, you're my son. And a son, if you think of the contrast, the difference between being a son and just being like, you know, a hired worker that somebody hires. A worker's value is based upon his performance, right? It's like you hire somebody to do a job, and as long as you're making the company tons of money because you're so gifted and you're so great at what you do, then everybody in the company likes you and we give you promotions and we put your picture on the wall and we say that you're awesome and we give you raises, but everything you get is based upon how you perform. That's what it's like to be a worker. But to be a son, completely different. As a son, our value, it's not based upon how we're performing. It's based upon our relationship to God the Father. So I can come before the Father and say, Father, can you give me this? I need this. And he doesn't say, well, let's see how you've been doing the last month. Let's check your record. Let's check your performance. Let's see if you've been performing well. Let's see if you're worthy of a raise. He didn't do that. He just says, everything I have is yours, of course. Now, again, there's way more to this father-son message. He disciplines those he loves. All that's there. I mean, I'll talk about that again, but I'm trying to focus, just get our mind on the it's a real thing to have God as a father, and he really does look at us with favor, and all that we have is his. So he decided in advance to adopt us. So you're a son. And then he says this, that him adopting us, this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. And I'm just going to finish, and then I'm going to just kind of wrap it up. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered us, his kindness on us. I mean, think about what it's like to be showered on. I remember just being in a rainstorm. I mean, a heavy rainstorm. I mean, it's coming down. You can stand out there. It's in just a matter of seconds, you're going to be fully dripping everywhere. You can't miss it. showers pouring down. You can't dodge the raindrops. Impossible. You're getting nailed. And God's like, that's my kindness because you're my son. I'm showering you with kindness all the time. You can't possibly thank me for all the kindnesses. You don't have enough time in a day to stop and think through every single little kindness I show you every day, even before you were saved, and actually tell me thank you for each one of them. So we just like, thank you, God, for everything. He's like, I get it. You're welcome. But here's the crazy thing. We get all this blessing by being children of God. And I would think like, gosh, what a bummer deal for you, God. Like, you go through all that. You die on a cross. I mean, that's really hard. And your reward, you get me. I'm like, so I get you. You get me. I'm so sorry. You know, it's like, but it's not how he feels. It's like, no. When I adopted you, do you know how this moved my heart? He says, this, I wanted to do it. That's what it says. He's like, this is my idea. I wanted to do this. And then I think, well, that's just because you're such an awesome guy. You're such a nice guy. You're like charitable to the people like me, and you adopt us into your family. And he's like, it's not just because of charity. Yes, he is an awesome guy. That is true. But he's like, do you know I wanted to do this, but I don't just do it because I feel obligated. I'm the rich guy. I got to do some benevolence. He's like, it gives me great pleasure to have you as my son or daughter. So think about this. I remember watching a video years ago. My wife and I watched it together about a family who had a dream in their heart to adopt a child from China. And they go through this, it's such a long, arduous process to adopt. I mean, all the home studies, all the paperwork, all the interviews, all the waiting, all the praying. I mean, there's just, it goes on and on. All the money, it costs tons of money to adopt, especially foreign adoption. I mean, it costs a lot of money to do it. But you know what? They were so excited. They were so excited, and their child was in their heart before they even saw their child in person. And they are longing for the moment when they would be able to hold their child in their arms and see them face to face and wake up in the same house together and live every single day and enjoy one another. And the day came, I remember the video, I was watching this video, and finally they got on a plane and they flew over to China. And they walk in this giant building and they walk down this hallway. And they come to one of the doors in the building. And the door opens. And a little child, their child, is standing right there. And the mom, she just like just grabs and is just kneeling down and embracing and holding the child and just weeping tears of joy. I mean, just weeping tears of joy over just holding this child. Like that child, by doing nothing, was bringing such powerful joy and pleasure to that mom. Because that mom wanted to adopt that child. It gave her great pleasure to adopt that child. And God's like, renew your mind. You got to change the way you think about yourself. You have to see yourself through my eyes, from my perspective, because this is what's right. He says, you are valuable. I would give my life for you. He did give his life for you. He's like, I have adopted you. You're not just a worker in my church. And I give you rewards, answered prayers based upon how good you work that week. He's like, you're my son. You're my daughter. You have favor with me. I handpicked you. I chose you. I adopted you, and you bring me great joy. I mean, I just see the Father with a giant smile on his face every time you walk into the room. Because this is how he is. He loves you. He is a good Father, and he sees you this way. So, amen. Well, I'm going to go ahead and stand. When I grew up in a broken home. You know, there was a lot of divorce in my family. And it left a wound in my heart, honestly, growing up. And I gave my life to Jesus. I was only 17. I was a teenager, so I was young. I was a young man, but I'm like, God, I want to be a godly man. I was only 17, kid. I'm like, but I want to grow into a godly man. I want to be a man of conviction. I want to be one of the ones who, when everybody does wrong, I do right. I want to be one when you read their story someday, like the guys in the Bible. You know, you read the stories in the Bible and you see them making the obvious wrong choice and you're like, no, don't do it. And it's they do it and it's bad. And you're like, oh, why did you do that? If I were you, I would have done the right thing. Or you see somebody do it right. You're like, yeah. Like, that's who I want to be. I want to be the one who does it right. I want to be a godly husband, a godly father. But God, I don't know how. I don't know how. I didn't have the greatest examples around all the time growing up of what a great marriage looked like. And I'm like, God, show me how. Teach me. And I remember one day I was mourning. I was a newly married man a few years later. I got married to Autumn. I was probably 20, 21 years old. And I was praying. I was in my office. I remember distinctly where I was at. It was in my office. And I was lamenting over the fact that, like, all these things, I was trying to walk in purity in my mind. And I'm like, God, I wish I had a godly father around who would have taught me how to do this stuff when I was young. But now I feel like I'm having to figure it out all by myself. And I want to be a godly man. And I remember, like, this has only happened a few times in my life and where the presence of God manifested this way to me. Literally, probably three times or so. Instantly, I felt this intense presence of God, like love. It was like wrapped around me. It almost felt physical, but yet it went through me all at the same time. I love it when I feel that. It's only happened probably three times in that way. And every time, it's changed my life. And I remember it's just intense love just wrapped me like an embrace. And it went through me. And I felt the love of God. And I heard the voice of the Lord. And he says, I'll be your father. And you know how God says something, but in your spirit, you know, like, there's way more that he said in that sentence than that you could say physically, like, you know, in one sentence. And I knew what he meant was, I joyfully embrace the responsibility of being your father and training you how to be a great man. You're gonna be great. You're the best dad, the best trainer in the whole world. You got God the Father. You can't beat that, right? Perfect discipline, perfect love, perfect affirmation. I mean, perfect everything. He's like, I'll be your dad. I was like, okay, I believe that, God. And you know what? I'm 44 years old now. It's been 20, however many years. And I could testify God has kept his promise. It doesn't matter. You could have had the greatest family, the greatest dad. You could have had the worst, most broken upbringing you could imagine. But listen, you can be great in the eyes of the Lord. And the way to be great in the eyes of the Lord, it starts with following Jesus, becoming a son or a daughter, and then it's like, okay, now I have the greatest dad in the whole world. So all I got to do is listen to him, learn, put into practice what he says, and let him transform me. The process continues. So I want to ask you, titled the message, it's time to start living like a healthy son or daughter if you're a girl. It's time to start embracing your identity as a child of God, intentionally walking, learning what it is by just reading the Bible. You can start with the passage I gave you today in Ephesians. Just go meditate on it. And there's more. Keep reading after the part I gave you. And just start renewing your mind. It's a process. It's little by little. It's choice by choice. It's day by day. Sometimes, honestly, truthfully, it's two steps forward, one step back. But you get up and you keep moving forward. And over the course of years, you really grow in confidence in the Father's love for you. And it changes the way you make decisions, and it changes the way you treat people. I want to invite you to re-sign up today to say, I am a son or daughter of God. My sins are forgiven through Jesus. and I'm going to embrace and walk like a son or daughter of God. I'm not going to walk like I'm outside the family. I'm not going to copy the customs and do things, the relationships and everything, and the way everybody else is doing them. I'm going to get a girlfriend or a boyfriend the way everybody else does. It's like, why? It's not working. Do it God's way and let the blessing of God be on it. Amen. Trust him. He's a good dad. He's not going to withhold anything good from you. Trust him and do it his way. I'm not going to compromise to get my dream job. No, I'm not. I'm going to honor the Lord, and that my dream is to honor the Lord and to walk in my identity as a son. And then I trust him with the provision and the job thing. So if you're here and you're just like, Jesus, I'm in. I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to start walking as a son or as a daughter. If that's you, I just want you to hold up your hands to the Lord, like both of them. I would hold up both, but I got to hold the microphone. Just to the Lord and close your eyes. I just want you to close your eyes. Hold your hands up. Now, Holy Spirit, come and reveal the Father to us. Come and fill us. We cry, Abba, Father. Come, Holy Spirit. Just say, Jesus, thank you for your blood that cleanses me from my sin. Holy Spirit, thank you for living inside of me and making me a son or a daughter of God. I give my life to you. Help me not to copy the customs of this world. Teach me how to live, and I will change the way I think, and I will change the way I behave to conform to what you say is right. Make me the person you created me to be. Thank you, God. Holy Spirit, we receive you right now. Show us the Father. Make your love real to us. May we grow and mature as your sons and daughters, and become like our Father, and reveal you to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, man. I encourage you guys, go home, get out Ephesians, and read it. It's only 6 chapters. Take your time, enjoy it, reread it.